How do you pronounce your name?
My name is pronounced Ibrahim Abdul Malik.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
And you've been here since 1977?
Correct. 1977, I migrated here from Williamsburg, Virginia. Met a young lady on the island who was a native islander.
I see.
And we married, and then moved back to my home for about 1 year, and then we came to here a year later. We've been kind of sort of have maintained a residence on the island since.
Mm-hmm. What is she? What is her name? What's her name? What's her maiden name?
Her maiden name is Freddie Mae Bryant.
Bryant, okay.
Her family's right there on Squirepoint Road.
Right.
Yes, sir. And they've been on the island for generations. I mean, even right now, as we speak, I think there's probably 4 generations of her family that are still part of the native island.
Is that the house, or is that where they have the folks who always are sitting outside?
Across the street from that.
Okay.
So they're on the right-hand side. I'm on the left-hand side in the brick house.
Okay.
Right there by the rowing center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you go to the park that has a rowing center, I'm on the brick house right there on the corner.
Is she a seamstress?
No, she's a home. She's a home. She's a home wife.
Her mother? Her mother?
Her mother's a very good seamstress.
Yeah.
You know her?
Yeah. Okay. I've met her.
She's a very good seamstress, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, her mother makes clothes well enough to be in any store in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But she only makes them for, you know, for herself, you know, and people who ask. Yeah. But she has very good skills.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was one of the, I left the island late, and I saw that the folks sitting around out there were still sitting around out there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And they probably sat right through the hurricane.
Yeah. I know. As we were leaving, we left Wednesday morning, about midday or so. And I heard one of the people over there saying, "I'm not going anywhere." And I was like, "Okay, well, that's up to you, you know." But, I guess they rolled it out.
Well, now, why are you running for town council?
I tell you what, the honest truth, Mr. Lauderdale, is I saw situations as it related to Ward 1 representation that wasn't demonstrating any kind of dialogue with the community. Because for a long time, they had representatives that would go and be on the council, and they would run unopposed. They would run pretty much unopposed. So they would just always just end up just getting reseated. As a result of that, what we saw is that the representative did not always highlight the concerns of our ward, which to me was an issue. And quite honestly, I was kind of off the island for about 5 or 7 years doing work, pursuing my career. I made a decision out in Charleston for the last 3 years that whenever I got back to the island, that I would be more involved in my community. Okay? And so when we came home, made contact with a few friends, and they indicated to me that the Ward 1 seat was being coming up for a vote this year. And I said, okay, well, talked to my friends and said, well, listen, do we have anyone that can go there so that, at the very least, we can have some conversation on what our concerns are? And they can be highlighted for whoever that person is that sits in that chair. And then I ended up being the person that had to accept that responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're talking about Mark Grant or Bill Ferguson, who preceded him, both?
And Mrs. Reason, for the most part. Mrs. Reason was prior to Mr. Ferguson.
Right.
They you know. And again, I'm not saying in total that's what the case was. But the larger part of Billy Ferguson's career as a council member, he was never opposed. So what we saw is that if there's no opposition, then you have an opportunity to just go and be reseated without having an agenda.
Well, what is your agenda?
My idea, first of all, is to create a paradigm shift as to how we view representation for the community. So I want to provide more than just representation. I want to provide a leadership that says, okay, we will govern with the informed consent of Ward 1, which means we have to engage. We had an opportunity recently, a civic organization, Rotarians, said that they had resources they were going to make available to Native Island people. An email went out to all the leaders of Hilton Head Island from historical perspective. When I say that, I'm talking NIBCA, Native Island Business Association. I'm saying Mr. Barnwell, Mr. Campbell, and all the rest of the people that have had a history on Hilton Head prior to me even coming there. The response to that invitation wasn't received very well, in the sense that it wasn't responded to in a way that would allow that resource to be put to use. Does that make sense?
Which Rotary Club? Were you talking about in the storm?
Hilton Head Rotary Club.
Was this before the storm? Or are you talking about a storm reaction?
Yes, sir. This is after one.
Okay.
So that's it. We have resources that we want to make available, you know, to Native Island people who need assistance. The Native Island leadership did not do anything to proactively engage in getting that information to the group so that they could provide those resources. Okay? And as a result of that, we kind of said, okay, well, nobody else will do it, we'll do it. So we started going door-to-door, phone calls, asking people, did you have anything from the storm? Do you need any help? Okay? Because you want to get the information to the Rotary Club before they say, okay, listen, these folks don't want to do anything to help themselves, then we'll pass it on to someone else. Does that make sense?
When you say we did it, what do you mean?
Okay, me personally, got in my car, went around, put out emails, put out Facebook, did all of that. But there are quite a few older people who don't have access to that. So we're going through the community and we're taking a look at you know, what we see, and we're just going to go and knock on doors and say, do you need any help? We have resources that are available if you need them.
What'd you find?
I found out that some people were in need. Some people had some real serious need. Then there were some situations where folks said, well, you know, I had some damage, but if there's someone else that can use the resources better than me, I'll be okay. You know, it's not that I'm not desperate. But if the resource is there, and if the resource is available, and if we don't take advantage of it, it's going to, you know, dry up, then yeah, put me on the list. But most people I thought were receptive to the idea. And then they didn't feel like their privacy was being invaded. Because it's one thing we didn't want to do. We didn't invade anybody's privacy. But if the resource was there, we want to certainly see if we can make it available to them.
Well, you've spoken to sewer, drainage. What are your issues? What do you want to do?
My concern there would be that the ward that we reside in starts receiving some priority. The sewer issues that we're having, the drainage issues that we're having, are issues that we've been having for the last 20 years. Okay, and I know they're being addressed now to the point where they have a 5-year plan where everybody who wants sewer on the island should, God willing, have that access. Have that sewer. But I want to see the concerns of Ward 1 prioritized just as much as the person who represents Sea Pines wants Sea Pines' concerns prioritized. That's all.
And what are those? What are your priorities?
Sewer would be a priority. The drainage would be a priority. I favor the tax, the 1% tax that they want to do for sales. For capital improvements, I favor that. Because I feel like this, if we have to have these improvements, and if we don't pass the sales tax, then how else are the government, the town, and the county going to be able to get that money they need to make this improvement, except through increasing of the personal property tax, increasing of the land tax? So I would support that. And again, the award one, for me, one of the main objectives would be to try to get our present leadership more engaged by setting the example of proactivity versus reactivity.
What do the people of Ward 1 tell you they need the most from the town?
That's a complex You know, the people from Ward 1, for the most part, the people in Ward 1 who have land that have the potential of developing that land, they want the town to ease up some of their restrictions. You know, I mean, 20 years ago when you would go to the island, some of the largest tracts of land were in the hands of the Native Islanders. They would have an opportunity to develop those lands if the town had allowed developers, you know, to come in with plans that would work for them. What we found is that in the majority of the cases, I wouldn't say the majority of cases, but in a lot of cases, when we had situations like that, the town would deny that developer the request, or they would deny that owner the right to rezone their property so that they could make it appealing to a developer. Okay? Which meant that here you have a situation where property taxes are being elevated. The owners of the land have no way of developing them because the developer's not going to come in and say, okay, I'm going to buy 10 acres of land. I can only put 2 units on, you know, an acre. So what happens? The developer is out. The town then comes around and renegotiates the buying of the land from the homeowners. They really can't afford to keep it because the property taxes keep rising. And they have no income to bring in to support that. Fast forward 15 years. 80% of those lands that the native owners used to own are now the possession of the town. I had a case myself where my mother-in-law, same property that we live in now, appealed to the town to have it rezoned so that she could have a commercial status for her property that was attached to waterfront property, which means that it should have been easier for her to get that zoning change. So if she wanted to sell, instead of it being sold as a residential, it could at the very least be sold for commercial property, which meant that she could have personally benefited more from that. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
Okay. So I want to see the representative for our area engage the town and engage the people to the point where the needs are being addressed and fairness is established. I have a friend who's had a business on hold with the town for a year and 8 months, or no, a year and 4 months. They gave him permits to do his business. Some politics happened, and now his business has been on hold for 1 year and 4 months.
What kind of business?
It's a catering business. I'm sure you've seen it in the newspaper, the Gullah Geechee Catering. Oh. That belongs to Ty Scott.
The one on Marshland Road?
On Marshland Road, yes, mm-hmm. sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Okay, an opportunity for a Native Islander to provide an economic outlet for other Native Islanders. Denied. So in fairness now, that's all we're asking for. And if there's an issue, I want my representative to be strong enough to say, let's look at this. Why is this happening? Why is this gentleman right next to him allowed to do what he does commercially, but he's not?
Well, in these years, what have you been involved in the community?
As I mentioned to you, my pursuits, honestly, have been more of me just pursuing my professional career, up to the last 5 years or so. Okay, now anywhere where I've been asked to do things, I have done them. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm heavily involved in my faith community.
Is that in Savannah?
That is in Savannah, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I've been heavily involved in my faith community since we've been here, mm-hmm. and it's based in Savannah primarily because it's not a large enough community to support the foundation that it requires to, you know, keep maintenance and upkeep
right.
alone. Okay, so in the last within the last year, the gentleman who was our resident leader for the last 40 years passed away suddenly, and I was required to step up and assume that position of leadership for our community.
I see.
Yes, sir.
I see. And are you working at Long Cove?
Is that I work at Long Cove. Yes, sir. I worked at Long Cove 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, as a server and pursued a career. Ended up doing some hospitality management throughout that 15-year period of time. Ended up in Charleston over the last 3 years. And at the end of that relationship, decided we were going to come home. But even when we were in Charleston, we did community work with different faith-based organizations. But the idea was when we get back home, we would be more involved in our community. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And is Long Cove back up? Are you working?
We're working on a reduced schedule. But it's not completely back up yet. Mm-hmm. You know, the clubhouse took a pretty big hit. The second floor took a pretty big hit. And so right now we had some areas that were salvageable. Then we kind of sort of made some shifts. But it's not fully operational yet. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts about the Arts Center? An arts venue?
You know, I would tell you this, Mr. Lauderdale, I think culture is very important. Very important. Okay? And I know that the proposed budget maybe has, you know, $6 million that's intended to go towards the cultural center, the Arts Center. It's hard for me to accept that alone right now when I realize that, you know, I was in my neighborhood yesterday. I saw that we still have roads and there's still water drainage that we have to deal with. There's going to be a health issue if it's not dealt with. Mosquitoes, they have trees stacked all over the place. If the trees aren't removed, then they're going to become possibly habitat for snakes, who knows? So, I believe culture is important. And we spoke to this issue at a meeting that the Women League of Voters held, a forum that they held last week. And I mentioned to them how we have a cultural golden egg that we are not putting any emphasis on. And when I say that, I'm talking about the Mitchellville Project. You know, we have the possibility of putting millions and millions of dollars into the Arts Center. And I understand that there's a lot going on in regards to whether the building is secure and all of that. I look at what they budgeted for the Mitchellville Project, and it's like a couple $100,000. So why we have this disparity when you have an opportunity there? I'm from Williamsburg, Virginia. Now, I'm not saying that Mitchellville can be done on the scale that Williamsburg was done, but we could certainly take advantage of the opportunity to have that type of history, that type of cultural history here that we are not really taking full advantage of. You know, they're just opening the center in Washington, D.C. for African American history. Charleston is doing a museum for African American history. They're building one right now. They do several celebrations throughout the year that highlight the Gullah culture. We could do more to add to the cultural expression of Hilton Head, Bluffton, versus just putting, you know, so much emphasis on the Art Center. But I do support culture, 100%, because the culture tells the story, it preserves the history. And it's a good thing, but let's spread the word a little bit.
So maybe put something more into the Mitchellville, get something there rather than cultural venue that's being looked at.
Yes, I'm saying we can do both. But let it, you know, instead of putting all the eggs in one basket, it looks like we're putting so many eggs in this one basket, and we got this beautiful potential over here that we aren't putting hardly any focus on, and we could probably do both.
What did you think about the town's idea of annexing Bay Point?
Big issue, I think. I guess the biggest concerns there for me would be if they do annex it, where are the workers going to come from? Where are the workers going to come from to work there? You know, that's the biggest question that I would ask. Okay, and if they annexed Bay Point without the consent of the county, was that something that is legal even? I don't know. I didn't think it was a good idea. Let me just put it that way, because I think that we have issues on Hilton Head right now that we have to deal with that aren't being addressed for us to go out and get additional headaches, to me right now, doesn't make sense.
Do you think, what do you think the town has learned from the Hurricane Matthew?
Okay, I think, first of all, I thought the town did a wonderful job getting the residents who wanted to leave off the island. I mentioned the other day in the forum that I thought it was a little chaotic in terms of how they got people back to the island. I was thinking that they probably could have done better in terms of allowing local people that have expertise, to have access to help out along with the National Guard and the federal assistance that came. For instance, if you own the landscaping company and you know how to, you're insured and you can go in and you can help cut down trees, you know, and you are a resident, why not let those folks on the island to help out versus having everybody just totally cut off from the island? They weren't, you know, until they gave consent. Does that make sense? I thought they did well. I thought the radio stations did well in terms of keeping the citizens abreast, because there were live radio shows that were going on that people were able to call into, and they provided good insight from that standpoint. So I thought we did well. Mm-hmm. I thought we did well.
Did your children go to school here, or they?
My children were homeschooled. Mm-hmm. In their initial schooling, and then at the middle school level, they would then allow. We then decided they would go to the middle school and high school levels.
Up in Charleston.
No, right here, locally. Here. My older two children were Hilton Head School, and my youngest, Bluffton. Bluffton mm-hmm. High, Bluffton Middle, Bluffton High.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it that we have not talked about that is a big issue for you?
I think we pretty much touched bases on it, you know? I think I've said it more than once. The idea that we're trying to do was to create the dialogue. Let's have the conversation. If you're Mr. Grant, if you're going to be there next year, for the next 4 years, then what's going to be your agenda? And don't be there 4 years before you create one. Let's go in there with some items that you're going to deal with. And for me, those items are prioritizing the concerns of Ward 1. What are they? Let's find out from the people what they need. Find out from the people what they want. And let's not be afraid to bring that to the table whenever we have to. And not in such a way that alienates us. Okay? Because I know we're going to have alliances and all that. I understand that. But in such a way that says, we are here as not just representatives, but we're here to provide leadership for the people of Ward 1, just like the other mm-hmm. people are, just like the mayor provides leadership for the whole town. That's our responsibility.
Well, do you have any ideas for how people, hourly workers, can afford to live on Hilton Head?
Pay them more. It's real simple. I worked here 25 years ago as a server, and we averaged $25 to $30 an hour as a banquet server. You know what they're paying banquet servers now? $10 an hour.
What was that? Was that tips and everything?
It was tips and everything. Yes, sir. Tips and everything. They paid you a small wage, and the majority of our income came from the service charges.
Mm-hmm.
What the majority of the establishment do today is pay a flat rate. First of all, they hire people part-time. So there's no incentive for me to stay here part-time. Somebody else is going to give me a job full-time, because part-time means no health insurance, no vacation, all the perks that go along with being full-time. Okay? So we're part-time, and instead of having an average of 25 to 30 bucks an hour, and again, sir, this was in 1977, 78, because they allowed the service charge to come to the service and it was dispersed. Now, understand the incentive that gives a worker. I'm going to come in here today and have the potential, we have the potential as a team of generating a surplus of, and not to say a surplus, but a compensation that averages, you know, a couple hundred bucks a piece for 2 hours worth of work. Would you come to work? Absolutely. Today, the establishments, they take the money. They pay $10 an hour starting out. If you have experience, they'll pay you 13.
You're talking about banquet servers at the hotels, the major hotels.
Sir. I'm talking about the major hotels. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And then even some clubs can afford to pay more by the hour because they know that it's not a tipped environment. But we're talking about the tipped environment, and because that's where my exposure was, okay. And as a result of that, we were in 2016. The average pay starting out is $10 an hour. Who can live on $10 an hour? So the hotels who do the big catering, and a lot of money is made in catering, they have to hire people from the islands to come in and work as seasonal workers. Because it's not much of an incentive to, you know, people can't afford to live on the island. Because they're not being paid a decent wage.
Is there anything the town can do?
Maybe, but maybe they could provide, or they could at least initiate a campaign of awareness. You know, and keep the employers in tune with the idea that, okay, what do we have to do? We have to create an environment that will want people to work here on Hilton Head. Create an environment that will want investors and employers to invest here. Whatever those incentives are, I don't know what the town's capabilities are, but at the very least, we can start the campaign to provide information to folks to let them know what our risks will be down the road if we don't create that environment that make people want to come here. The town can't make Sonesta or Omni or Hyatt pay a different wage, but they can certainly suggest to them. They can certainly push the idea to them. And here, guys, we got a big picture that we need to look at.
Well, did you have any qualms with the way the Bay Point idea came about? One day we found out that the town is in favor of it. The town council seems to be in favor of it.
I don't think they were transparent about the idea. They weren't communicating openly that they had an interest in that. I don't like that idea. You know, my idea is this right here. We assess the needs of the people, whether it's the town taking a look at what they want to do for the future. And, you know, when we go about addressing those needs, do it in a way that's legal, moral, and ethical. We meet their qualifications, then going forward from that point is any means necessary. But what did they move about in a legal way? Was what they did moral? And was it ethical? Those are the three questions that I would look at. And I think that they were kind of sort of did that in a way that people weren't aware, people weren't informed that they were going to be doing that. And to me, that's unethical. It's kind of sneaky, you know what I mean?
Is there anything else you wanted to address or that I haven't? Or Brian, is there anything I haven't?
No, I'm if you have any questions.
No, it's good.
Well, I appreciate you coming.
Yes, sir.
And it's nice to meet you.